Will you please join me in the litany, a canticle of hope? We shall see. Oh, we're not going to do the music. That's great. We shall see a new heaven and a new earth, for the old will pass away.
We shall see a new Jerusalem, the holy city descending from heaven.
The city shall need no sun or moon, for God's glory will be its light.
For God's lamb will be its lamp, and by its light the nations shall walk.
We shall hear a loud voice from the throne.
Behold, God's dwelling is with mortals. Indeed, God will dwell with them, and they will be God's people.
God shall wipe away all our tears, and there shall be no more death.
Mourning, crying, and pain shall cease, for all former things will pass away.
We shall hear one speak from the throne.
Behold, I make all things new. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end.
Our Lord testifies to these things.
Behold, I am coming soon.
The grace of the Lord is with us.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus, come.
Sing with us number 510, Come Ye Disconsolate.
Remain standing and let us join together in our affirmation of faith this morning. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?
No.
In all things we are more than conquerors through the one who loved us. We are sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Without end. Amen. Amen.
We are a people of hope, and a part of our praying together is making a statement that we are just that, a people of hope, a people who bring our laments before God and trust that God mixes and mingles God's Holy Spirit, and we come out on the side of hope. So what are your prayer concerns, your requests that you would make before the community of faith this morning? We will. Carson. Okay. Carson's nephew has a blood clot behind his eye.
Continue to keep Brother Ben McNeese in your prayers. He's the choir director at First Baptist of Rockwood. He's still dealing with his, he has cancer, and he's still dealing with that. So just remember him and keep him in your prayers, please.
Praise. Great. Great news. All right, let us bring all of who we are before God in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and merciful God, we give you thanks and praise in all things. We praise you for this good news about Jim's son. And in the midst of our praises and our thanks, we lament with the psalmists and the prophets, the people throughout history who cry out, "Why, God? How long, God? Why does sickness seem so prevalent? Why do the wicked continue to get their way?" We offer up our laments. We offer up intentions for healing for Mary, for Carson's nephew, for David's sister, for Ben McNeese, for those things that stir in our hearts and minds that we didn't name out loud. Search us and know us. Meet us where we are, gracious God. Fill us to overflowing with your love, with your peace, and especially with the hope that only you can give. A certainty only born out of faith. Increase our faith as we lift our voices together now to pray together the Lord's Prayer, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As our ushers come forward, I'll tell you about another conference ministry that your offerings go to support. My dear friend, the Reverend Barry Kidwell, works with the homeless population in Chattanooga. When I first met Barry, he was hanging out under bridges. And over the last about 25 years, he has built up a ministry called the Mustard Tree Ministry. And that is just one of the beautiful things about being a connectional church, the United Methodist Church, is that your offerings go to help the mustard tree and the homeless. Let us pray. Gracious God, pour out your abundant blessings on us gathered here and on these gifts. By your Spirit, you do make us one with Christ in ministry to the world. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Standing and sing with us, please, number 507, Through It All, twice.
Through it all, I learned to trust.
Today's scripture is from Jeremiah 29, verses 11 through 13, and selected verses from one of my favorite prophets, Habakkuk. First from Jeremiah, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." And now from the prophet Habakkuk. The prophecy that Habakkuk the prophet received, Habakkuk's complaint. "How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. Therefore, the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted. Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me." The Lord's answer, "Look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed, for I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe, even if you were told. I am raising up the Babylonians, that ruthless and impetuous people who sweep across the whole earth to seize dwellings, not their own. They are a feared and dreaded people. They are a law to themselves and promote their own honor. Their horses are swifter than leopards, fiercer than wolves at dusk. Their cavalry gallops headlong. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like an eagle swooping to devour. They all come intent on violence. Their hordes advance like a desert wind and gather prisoners like sand. They mock kings and scoff at rulers. They laugh at all fortified cities. By building earthen ramps, they capture them. Then they sweep past like the wind and go on, guilty people whose own strength is their God. Habakkuk's second complaint, Lord, are you not from everlasting? My God, my Holy One, you will never die. You, Lord, have appointed them to execute judgment. You, my rock, have ordained them to punish. Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrongdoing. Why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves? You have made the people like fish in the sea, like sea creatures that have no ruler. The wicked foe pulls all of them up with hooks. He catches them in his net. He gathers them up in his dragnet. And so he rejoices and is glad. Therefore, he sacrifices to his net and burns incense to his dragnet. For by his net, he lives in luxury and enjoys the choicest food. Is he to keep on emptying his net, destroying nations without mercy? And finally, Habakkuk's coming back around to God. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Loving God, you show mercy on your people. I lift up this time to you and ask that you show mercy on me, that this moment might be a blessing and that your love will show through. I ask that your Holy Spirit mingle between my lips and your hearers' ears so that your word will be heard. Speak through me, and if not through me, speak in spite of me so that your will be done in the hearts of your people. In Christ's name I ask, amen. So we're doing a series on hope this month. Why do a series on hope? Well, for one thing, this season after Pentecost is getting really long. And so every now and then it's occasionally the preacher's privilege to take a little break from the lectionary. But moreover, why do a series on hope? Because if we don't have hope, we don't have a future. That familiar text from Jeremiah, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." That's going to be our overarching text for each week this month. We are a people of hope. And if we don't have hope, then what hope is there for the world around us looking to us as the people of God? We must have hope. If we don't have hope, it can cause us to quit, to give in to our despair. So do we have hope Do you have hope for yourself, for your life, for your future, for this church's future? And I, of course, chose Habakkuk for this week because he is just so honest. He's like Job. How he kind of reminds me of that show, Hee Haw. Do you remember that show? Do you remember the song from that show? Sing along with me. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. And then Minnie Pearl with the tag on her hat would stand up and talk about some horrible, bad, tragic, despairing thing that would happen to her. Honesty in life, like Habakkuk, like Job, like the psalmists, like those in Lamentations. Why, God, Job says, do you tolerate this nonsense? If you are so powerful, why do you let so many bad things happen in the world? And things were really bad for Habakkuk when he penned this. He says things like, we're just like fish, out of control, just trying to swim along and live life, and we get caught by the hooks of the wicked. We get caught up in the dragnets of the wicked. Come on, God, engage. We're completely overwhelmed. We're completely out of control by the wickedness of this world. And the book of Habakkuk reflects this traumatic time in the history of the people of Israel. God's first answer to him in this book is all about how God's going to raise up the Babylonians and going to do horrible things. The Assyrian army in this period of time destroyed one city after another, brutally killing people. And then not long after this book was written, the Babylonians under King Nebuchadnezzar would attack Jerusalem three times, taking the leaders and skilled citizens into exile, and finally destroyed the city and the temple in 587 BC. All Habakkuk could see in the present and foreseeable future was violence. Habakkuk 1:1 through 4 shows us that the prophet is overwhelmed by the nightly news, the feed of CNN at the bottom of the screen. And he asks, why, God, are you tolerating all these evil deeds? Why do I have to see the crack babies, the young black men being shot, the police officers being ambushed, the drone strikes and the death of innocents, the strife, the oppression, the people unable to rise out of poverty? Habakkuk laments that the wicked are overpowering the righteous, and that justice is perverted. The literal translation of that word perverted is raped. Justice is raped. Ever feel that way? Within this context of violence, we hear what Habakkuk does. We hear his lament. Oh, Lord, come on. How long must I cry for help? And you will not listen. In the midst of Habakkuk's nightmarish life, the only thing he can do to help his people is to voice their pain, to cry over the anguish that they're experiencing. He echoes the Psalms of lament. He echoes Lamentations. And we hear how he cries out to God, how long? Help me. And Habakkuk's lament joins laments from all around the world, then and today, in which people have found words to name the situations of violence and injustice and oppression in their lives. Come on, let's sing it again. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Because you see, There's power in the lament. Habakkuk tells God the magnitude of the problem. Sometimes despair can tempt us to withdraw, to turn away, to become paralyzed, to become overwhelmed because it is all too much. But Habakkuk doesn't give in to that. He laments. He tells God the magnitude of the problem. And in so doing, he resists that which is threatening the well-being of him and his people. It is important to name the magnitude of the problem to God, because when we can find those words to name those situations of violence and injustice, we resist what threatens our well-being and our happiness. The Bible insists this over and over and over, especially in the prophets, that violence and injustice do not have the last word. That's also the good news of Jesus Christ. The gospel says and is that hope defeats the bad stuff. So by taking a stance of lament and naming, we take a stance of resistance. And by taking a stance of resistance, we declare that the bad stuff, the injustice, the wickedness, does not get the last word or the last claim on our lives. When you lament through the despair and land in hope, you make a difference. You stand in the gap and tip the balance for hope. Habakkuk could have let himself get paralyzed in the overwhelm, but he didn't. After his complaint, he circled back around to God, the God he had a history with, the God whose character he knew and he could count on. For this God, words of scarcity and loss and acquiescing to "that's just the way things are" is not a stance fitting for God, and it is certainly not a stance for Jesus Christ. Jesus did not die for things to remain the same. The death and resurrection of Jesus means we never, ever, ever have to accept the wickedness as status quo and just the way things are. The resurrected Christ moves in when we stand in the gap for hope. You've probably heard me talk about my cousin. She lives in Arizona, and she is more like a sister to me. I'm an only child, and we grew up spending every holiday and all summer long together. And my cousin suffers with bipolar illness. And if you don't know anybody who suffers from that, then I encourage you to do some research and some reading. It is a summation of wickedness and injustice and oppression. It is a vicious disease, and it causes just normal getting through a day to be so difficult and such a struggle sometimes. And recently, she takes like 17 medications. So recently, her meds were off, and so therefore she was off. She forgot to take her antipsychotic for 3 days. So she just, you know, the medicine is what keeps her in balance. And she resists when she's in that space. She calls me, and we talk, and she laments, and she comes back around every single time to hope. And her resistance is beautiful. I got her a sticker that I bought from a woman who suffers from bipolar illness, and she's an artist and has written a book called she made a beautiful art, like bumper sticker that says, "Your resistance is beautiful." And I put it on my car, and Marcia has it on her car because I'm her resistance buddy. The world needs resistant buddies. We need resistance buddies. We need to be resistance buddies for each other. You know, hope is resistance. And resistance gives us resilience. And we need both, because God's other answer to Habakkuk was not one that he or we like to hear. God says, wait, be patient. Deliverance is coming, but not on your time frame. The divine response comes, but not in the easy answers or the quick ways that we crave. In Israel's history, the prophet's message would be followed by many more years of violence. Things would get worse before they got better. But in the midst of the most dire of circumstances, we see how the prophet clings to God's faithfulness and love. Though the fig tree does not bud, though there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop failed, and the fields produce no food, and there's no sheep in the pen. This is everything. This is sustenance. This is livelihood. This is gloom, despair. And though there is agony on me, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. Waiting for God is the order of the day. That's life. So Habakkuk gives us lament. It gives us a way to wait in the midst of the violence and the circumstances. Habakkuk helps us, gives us permission to come clean with God, to declare the magnitude of the problem to God, whatever that might be. Something personal, something in your family, something with our church community. Tell God the magnitude of the problem, then circle back around so we can claim hope. Does the magnitude of the problem paralyze you and your ministry or inspire it? The Bible says claim hope. Claim that resistance. To whom will we be the embodiment of hope this week? Who needs to see your hope? Who needs a resistance buddy from you this week? Where are they going to get it if not from the people of hope? McDonald's? Rotary Club? The church? Like it or not, believe it or not, I still believe in the church. I still believe the church is God's chosen vehicle for God's presence and activity in this world. I want to be the church. I want to be hope. I want to be resistance buddy. We are the ones, the only ones in this hope business. For whom do you and do we need to proclaim hope? Let us pray. God, thank you for the gift of hope. It's not some wishy-washy thing, but a solid, firm, resistant, resilient foundation that we can bank on. Be our God of hope this week. Help us to love each other and be resistant buddies for one another and claim hope for one another. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please sing with us number 624, His Eyes on the Sparrow.
Shadows come. Why should my heart
In the name of the hope of the world, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.